Alright, so we left off top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. So again, if you remember, we're in the middle of dealing with the Mishnah. And the fundamental machlokas that the Gemara is dealing with right now is what is the topic of the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah talking about Shehiyah? Or is the Mishnah, talking about Chazara? Namely, is the Mishnah giving us the instructions for how to maintain food on a fire, right, on a stove, going into Shabbos? Or is the Mishnah giving me the instructions as to how to return food to the fire on Shabbos? That's the fundamental machlokas. So the Gemara tried to demonstrate yesterday, and again, just to illustrate how those two possibilities would play out. If you go with Shehiyah, then what the Mishnah is telling you is that the only way you can go ahead and maintain food on an oven, on a stove, going into Shabbos, is if it's grufa ketuma, grufa o ketuma. Either the coals are shoveled out, or the coals are blanketed with some layer of ash, some layer of dust. Therefore, either the heat source is gone or the heat source is tempered. Either way, it alleviates the concern of Shemi Yechata, that one may come to go ahead and stoke the coals. At that point in time, then the Mishnah goes ahead and explains two machloksim Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. As to A, what are you allowed to maintain on the stove going into Shabbos? And B, what is the status of Chazorah? Are you permitted to go ahead and once you take things off, are you permitted to go ahead and put it back on? But we saw, we ended off yesterday with the Gemara suggest, we're going to see that today. So take a look at Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. So the last thing we ended off with was the Gemara felt that if you interpret the Mishnah as dealing with Chazara, then the last two parts of the Mishnah, the last two machlokes in Mishnah Beis Hillel, will in fact be redundant. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, in reality, I think that you could even interpret the Mishnah as dealing with Chazara. What about the fact that it's redundant? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you. In reality, there's a line missing from the Mishnah. This is V'halchi Katani. Here's how you have to read the Mishnah. Kira shesikla v'kashu v'gavava. If you have a stove that was heated with straw, with stubble, nachzirin aleha tafshil. You are permitted to go ahead and return food to that stove on Shabbos. Also remember, Chazorah is on Shabbos itself. Shehiyah is maintaining food Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. So now the Gemara says, here's how you'd have to read the Mishnah. See if you have a Kira, if you have a stove that was heated with Kasha B'Gavava, Machzirin Aleha Tavshil. You are permitted to go ahead and return. You're permitted to return food to it on Shabbos. Now, why is that? Because again, kash gaviva, these are heat sources that very quickly burn up, and therefore there's no fear of shemi yechata because ultimately the heat source is gone. The gefes ubeitzim, however, if you are heating the stove with gefes and eitzim, pulp or with wood, lo yachzir, you may not do chazar, you may not return food to it on Shabbos, ad sheyigrov or ad sheyitin esayifer. Unless you either A, clean out the coals, right, totally remove the heat source, or B, blanket it with some level of dirt or with dust. So the Gemara says, avalishos, but to go ahead and maintain food on the stove going into Shabbos, afal pi she'eno garuf, ve'eno katur. Then you're permitted to do that even if what? Even if the stove has not had the heat source cleaned out, or has not had to blanket it with dirt. Umahin mashin. So now, again, remember, this is just the Gemara reading the Mishnah. Umahin mashin. And what would you be permitted to go ahead and do shehiyah with? Beis Shammai omrim chamin, aval lo tavshil. Beis Shammai says the most you can do is water, but no food. No food, because Beis Shammai holds that with food there's always a fear of shemi yichata. Beis Hillel says, chamin utavshil. Beis Hillel says both. V'hach chazara da'omri locha, lav divrei hakolhi. And furthermore, says the Gemara, what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that when we speak about Chazara, not everybody agrees that you could do Chazara. Not everybody agrees that you could return food to the stove on Shabbos. Ela machlokes Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel. Shebeis Shammai omrim notlin v'lo machzirin. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you could take it off, but you may not return it. uBeis Hillel omrim af machzirin. And Beis Hillel holds that you could even go ahead and return it. So Rabosai, what the Gemara just successfully, I may say so, demonstrated, is that the Mishnah could be read as referring to Chazara also. So now, the only difference over here is that, remember, in order to make this reading work, you have to insert a number of explanatory phrases. The beautiful part about the Shehiyah reading, which was so seamless, it was like a glove, it was so perfect, you didn't have to add any words into the Mishnah, it read naturally. Just like Gemara's pointing out, Chazara also works, but you have to employ that Chisrei Mechsura. Chisrei Mechsura, again, just means that sometimes Mishnayos were written shorthand, And so because Mishnah is written shorthand, sometimes you have to know how to fill in the blanks afterwards. Okay? So we're left with these two possible versions of the Mishnah. Tashma, Dom Rabbi Chalba, Amar Rav. We haven't resolved it. Tashma, Dom Rabbi Chalba, Amar Rav, Bar Guya, Amar Rav. Lo Shanu Ela Al Gabo. So now the Gemara says, like, Gemara quotes a Braisa. Rabbi Chalba, send the name of Rabbi Chalba, Bar Guya, send the name of Rav. We only learn Lo Shanu Ela Al Gabo. We only learned about, let's look at Rashi, Lo Shanu, it's the third wide line on top, Lo Shanu, Shriyusa Demasnisin, Ela Al Gaba, Delo Nafish Havlo Kule Hai Aval Tocha Aser. So Rabbi said, now what's happening over here is Rabbi Chabo is coming along and saying the following. When we speak about Shehiyah, when the Mishnah speaks about Shehiyah, Rabbi Chabo is presupposing that the Mishnah is speaking about Shehiyah, not Chazara. When we learned about Shehiyah, that was talking, excuse me, I take that, forget I said that for a moment, it's going to ruin the end. So Rabbi Chelbus and Rabbi Chama, we only learned about putting food on top of the stove. Aval socha, but putting food into the stove or into the oven would be usser. And now Rashi says over here, why would that be? Look at Rashi. Lo shanu shriyusa demasnisin ela al gaba de lo nafish kulihai. Because ultimately, when you put the stove, when you put the item on top, the heat is not that intense. Aval tocha, but to put it inside is usser. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this statement. So if you say that Rabbi Chalba, now remember, Rabbi Chalba was commenting on the Mishnah. So the Gemara says like this. If you said the Mishnah is talking about Chazara, then, Hainu Dishoni Ben Tocha La'al Gaba. Then Rabbi Chalba's statement makes sense. Because what is Rabbi Chalba saying? That when the Mishnah permits Chazara, when the Mishnah allows you to go ahead and return food to the stove, if the stove is Garof HaKatum, so when is that allowed? Only when what? When you're returning it to the top of the stove. But under no circumstances, says Rabbi Chalba, are you permitted to go ahead and return food into the oven. Ela'i amrit lishos tanan. But if you say that it's referring to Shehiya Mali Tocha Mali Al Gaba, then for Shehiya purposes of Osai, why would you not be permitted to put something in the oven on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos? So therefore, the Gemara is using Rabbi Chalba's statement as a lemaise indicator that the Mishnah must be talking about Chazara. So the Gemara says, one second. Mi savres Rabbi Chalba areisha koi? Do you think Rabbi Chalba is referring to the first part of the Mishnah? No. Aseifa koi. He's referring to the end of the Mishnah. Ube silo omrin af machzirin. See, what the Gemara is suggesting now is, here's what we know. You don't have to go ahead and say that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Chazara to make Rabbi Chalba's statement make sense. Why? Because everyone agrees, the last part of the Mishnah, there is a machlokes beishan beisila about Chazara. Can you return food to the stove on Shabbos? Beis Hillel says yes, Beis Shammai says no. The Gemara now suggests that Rabbi Chalba's statement is coming to address Beis Hillel's statement. That when Beis Hillel says you could return food to the stove on Shabbos, V'amar Rabbi Chalba, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Ela Al Gabo. Aval Tocha Aser. So Rabbi Chalba is not coming to comment on the first part of the Mishnah, he's coming to comment on Beis Hillel's statement. Therefore, the Gemara suggests is the first part of the Mishnah could still be referring to what? Could still be referring to Shehiyah. And Rabbi Chalba's statements about Chazara are referring to Beis Hillel's statement of allowing Chazara. But also, I just point out, that is Halacha L'maisa. I mean, we always have a lot of holes to fill in over here. But when talking about Chazara, when talking about going ahead and returning an item to, let's say, the fire on Shabbos, you could only return items on top of the stove. Right, we're not returning any items into the stove itself. Right, we'll talk about why this. That's even if a person left their stove on over Shabbos. A person can't return items on Shabbos into the stove because the Gemara says we'll see this later on more explicitly. It's mechzik mevashal. Anytime you put something into an enclosure, even just for heating purposes, it's rabbinically prohibited according to most. Right, rabbinically prohibited according to most because halacha lemaisa, it's mechzik mevashal, has the appearance of cooking. So I'll throw out these halacha lemaisa nuggets to you as we go, but we'll consolidate them a little bit more in a coherent fashion as we go on. Tashma. So I will say, we're still no further, meaning we're still not stuck, but we're still in the middle of this machlokes as to how to understand the Mishnah. Tashma, base kiros hamatimos. If you have two, literally, base kiros hamatimos, matimos, you see the shorish there, is ta'omim. right? It's so cute. You have two twin stoves. So what does that mean? You have two twin stoves. So Rashi points out over here that matimos, kiros matimos, is mechubaros yachad, v'kir shel cheres mafsekes beinehem. So there are two ovens that are attached, but they have a wall in between them. A wall in between them, whether that's a shared wall or just a double wall. The point is they're attached by a wall. So the Gemara says like this: Achas grufa k'tuma, v'achas sheni grufa k'tuma. One of the stoves is garuf and katum, and one of the stoves is not garuf and katum. So the Gemara says, mashin al gabe grufa k'tuma, ve'in mashin al gabe al sheni grufa ve'in k'tuma. So the Gemara says you are permitted to go ahead and put food on top of the stove. That's garuf and katum, but you may not put food on top of the stove. That's not garuf or katum. Now I will say, what's the chap of that? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Mashin al gabe grufa k'tuma, delo chay shinan mishum desalak havlo meidach. See, I might have thought that in order to use one of those ovens, both of the ovens have to be garuf or katum. Why? Because since they are joined together, I would have thought that in essence they share heat. And therefore, even if one of the ovens is garuf or katum, I can't put my food on that. Why? Because it's still going to be heated from the other oven. The other oven is not garuf or katum, and I may come to stoke the coals of the other oven. Kamashal, the Gemara says that's not the case. We're not concerned about that, which in essence, we'll see what it means. Umayin mashin, right? And what may you maintain? What are you permitted to maintain on this stovetop that is garuf or katum? Beishan omrim v'lo klum. Beishaman says nothing. Ubeishilo omrim chamin. Avalo tafshil. Avalo tafshil. So Beisilo says you're permitted to go ahead and put water on there, but not tafshil. So the but not any kind of food. So the Gemara says, Akar divrei hakol. Akar, how if you took it off, divrei hakol lo yachsir. If you removed an object from on top of that stove, everyone agrees that you may not return it. So the Gemara says, divrei Rabbi Meir. These words are Rabbi Meir. I want to point out, Rabbi Meir obviously has a very different understanding of Machlokes Beishan Beisilah, because remember, this contradicts our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, first of all, Beisilah holds that you're permitted to return, that's number one, and number two, Beisilah holds that you're permitted to do Shehiyah for Chamin and Tafshil, for water and for cooked food. Here, Rabbi Meir clearly has a different girsa. Rabbi Huda says, Beishamai Omrim, Chamin Avalo Tafshil. So according to Rabbi Huda says that Beishamai holds Chamin, cooked water, white, warm water, boiled water, but not Tafshil. Ubeisilo omrim chamin utafshil. Beishamai omrim notlin avalo machzirin. Ubeisilo omrim af machzirin. And Beisilo holds, so Beishamai holds that you could take it off the stovetop, but you can't return it. And Beisilo holds that you could even return it. So the Gemara says like this: I amrit bishlama lishos tinan. So if you hold that our Mishnah is talking about Shehiyah, right there, remember then, when the Mishnah says, again, when we speak about the Mishnah talking about Shehiyah, the real stakes for that are the first part of the Mishnah. That when the Mishnah says that in order to go ahead and use a stovetop on for Shabbos, it must be garuf or katum, what that's really referring to is that in order to go ahead and maintain food on the stovetop, erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, it has to be garuf or katum. So if you take that approach, then masnisin mani, Rabbi Hudi, then our Mishnah would reflect the view of Rabbi Hudi, just stated above. But if the Mishnah is talking about Chazara, so masnisin money, then whose opinion would our Mishnah reflect? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, but lo Rabbi Meir. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, nor can it be Rabbi Meir. Why? E Rabbi Meir, because if it's going to be Rabbi Meir, kashya lebe shamai bechado, or lebe sil betarti. Because if it's Rabbi Meir, then Rabbi Meir's version is contradicts the Mishnah in one place like Beit Shammai, and in two places there are contradictions in the Shidas Beis Hillel. I Rabbi Huda, and if it's Rabbi Huda, Kasha Grufa Ktuma. Then ultimately we have a fundamental question just on the need for Grufa and Ktuma. So the Gemara says the following, Liolam, Ema Lachala Hachzir Tanan. In reality, says the Gemara, let's go ahead and assume that the Mishnah is talking about Chazara. That's the topic of the Mishnah. V'tana Bidan, Savala Krabi Huda Bechada, Upalig Ali Bechada. And the Tana of our Mishnah agrees with Rabbi Huda in one case, and argues with him in another case. What's the case? Savala Krabi Huda Bechada, Bechamin Vetavshil, Benotlin Umachzirin. He holds the Krabi Huda in the fact that A, you can go ahead and do Shehiyah for Chamin and Tavshil, and also that you can go ahead and take it off and you can do Chazara. But he argues on him in one case, the Ilutana Didan Savalishos, But he argues in one situation, because our Tana, remember, if you read the Mishnah as referring to Chazara, then the only time that you need Garoth and Katum is for Chazara, which means that for Shehiya, you'll be permitted to do it even without Garoth and Ketuma. So our Tana holds that you can do Shehiya even if it's not Garoth and Ketuma. Rav Yehuda Savar, first wide line. Rav Yehuda Savar, Belish Hos Nami Garof O Katum In, Ilo Lo, whereas Rav Yehuda will hold that even for Shehiya, it only works if the stove is Garof O Katum, but if the stove is not Garof O Katum, it won't work. Okay, so I'll say again, we're still in the midst of the same exact question, which is, what is the subject of the first part of the Mishnah? Ibai Luhu, Snavi Gemara raises the question. Alright, so the Gemara raises the question. Ibailuhu. Mahu lismochba. Interesting question. Are you permitted to, what is the halacha in terms of resting, let's say, a pot of food next to the oven? So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Mahu lismoch towards the bottom of the page. Kedera eitzel dofen hakira below grifa. Shakira mitaltelasi. Umoshivin osal gabe karka. So we'll say the Gemara asks the following question. Are you permitted to go ahead and place a pot next to the stove if the stove is not Garof HaKatum? That's the Shaila. So the Gemara says, on one hand we could say, Tocha V'gaba Aser, Aval Lismoch Ba Shapir Dami. Maybe the only time you need Grufa and Ketuma is when you want to place the pot on top or in the stove. But lismoch, but to put it next to the stove, shapir tami. You could do that even without Garof and Ketuma. Old Vilma, on the other hand, maybe the possibility is loshna, or maybe it doesn't make a difference. Maybe any time you are utilizing the heat of the stove, whether you're using it on top, inside, or next to the stove, halach lamaisi, you should have to go ahead and do Garof and Ketuma. Tashma, so the Gemara says, let's quote the Braita. So, shtei kiros hamat imos. Achas grufa va'achas ketuma. See, if you have two stoves, literally twin stoves that are attached to one another. One is grufa and ketuma. Va'achas she'ena grufa ketuma. One is not grufa ketuma. So mashin agabe grufa ketuma. V'af agav de kasolik lehavla mi'idach. You are permitted to go ahead and what? You're permitted to put a pot on top of the stove that's grufa and ketuma, even though what? Even though it's going to derive heat from the stove that's not grufa and ketuma. So the Gemara is trying to use this as a raya for what? As a raya for the fact that you see from here that on Shabbos you are permitted to use heat, albeit indirectly, from a stove that's not grufa and ketuma.
No fire on the second one?
There is a fire on the second one.
No, both of them. There's no fire on one of them and fire on the other
no,
one.
No, fire on both. Fire on both. But the chap is, even though there's a fire on the stove that's grufa and ketuma, we still say it's still deriving additional heat from the stove that's not grufa and ketuma. So the fact that the price allows us, the Gemara says that what? That apparently, the only time you have to be garif and katum is when the pot is being the direct beneficiary of the heat. But if the pot, I'm sorry?
Then it's allowing, for grufa and ketuma, it's allowing this as far as the Gemara, that it's allowed to.
Correct. But if the pot is benefiting indirectly, then alokalamaisi is permitted. So the Gemara suggests that we can apply that to the case of smicha, and therefore you should be able to place the pot next to a stove that's not Garof HaKatum.
Is the smicha case where it's on the ground, Rashi?
Correct. On the ground next to the stove. Correct. Outside next to the stove. So the Gemara says, one second, not a good comparison. Dilma shiny hasam, dechevan demedalya shalit beavira. So the Gemara says, no, at the end of the day, also remember we described this yesterday, that the way that the stove used to work was, you'd have this box-like structure, it would have a hole on the top of it, the pot would go into the hole. It wouldn't be totally in the oven, the hole would essentially be smaller than the pot. So the pot would rest in that hole. So the Gemara suggests over here that because there's avir, because there's airspace in between the actual heat source and the pot, that the heat that comes from the second oven ultimately dissipates and does not really have a real effect on the cooking process. Therefore, it's not considered as if the pot is actually benefiting from the heat that comes from the oven that's agnat Garof HaKatum. So the Gemara says, Tashma, do Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Chiya, Kitma, Vinislavsa. So interesting case. What happens if you went ahead and you kitma means you blanketed the coals. So you did what you're supposed to do. You put a layer of dirt on top of the coals. Vinislavsa. Now look at Rashi. Nislavsa is chazra v'huvara. Chazra v'huvara means, and let's say then the coals reignited. Right? So you put the blanket of dirt, which is there to temper the cooking ability of the coals, and they reignite. So the halacha is somchinla, we're permitted to go ahead and put food next to those coals, and ultimately we're permitted to put food on top of the stove. Benotlin mimena, and you could take food off the stove. Umachzirinla, you could put it back on the stove. Shmamina lismochnami. Kitmain, lo kitmalo. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? That the only time that the Mishnah allowed for smicha, right, the Brayis allowed for smicha, that allowed for placing the food next to the stove is when? When there was kitma, when there was katum. Now again, granted, it fired up again, but at the end of the day, you still did your ashtadlis, you still did what you were supposed to do by doing ketuma. So the Gemara says, kitma lo kitma lo, ula tamech. The Gemara says, but according to Tzavos, so now what the Gemara just thinks it just accomplished was to show the fact that the Braisa sets up the case of where a person blanketed the coal with ash, and only then does the Braisa say that you're permitted to go ahead and place the pot next to the stove, indicates that even for smicha, you require guf and ketuma. So Gemara says, one second. Ula tamech, notlin mimena diktani, kitma in lo kitma lo. Or the Gemara says, if you're going to be so exact in your wording, then let's be medayek a little bit further. Then you could say also, the fact that the braisa allows you to remove food from on top of the stove is only true of what? If you did ketima, but if you didn't do ketima, you wouldn't be able to remove it? So the Gemara says, obviously that's not true, Bosai, because you could remove food from the stove no matter what. It doesn't make a difference with the stove. You can always remove food. So obviously the Gemara is just suggesting that ketuma may not be a precondition for the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Ela tana notlin mishum machzirin. The Gemara says, no. The only reason why the Braisa mentioned that you could take food off, right? You don't need a license to take food off. You can always take food off. So why does the Braisa make it sound like it's giving us permission to take things off? Only because it's allowing us to do chazara as well. So since the Braisa is going to say, you could even do chazara, you could even return it, it says, notlin mishum machzirin. It seeks about taking it off, since it's going to be discussing putting it back on. Hachinami, so you could say the same thing over here, tana somchin mishum mekaimin. The only reason it mentions smicha is why? Because it mentions shihiyah, right? Since it mentions leaving food on top of the stove, it also throws in there smicha, putting it next to. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, that's not going to work. Hachi hashta, is that really a good explanation? Is that plausible? Hasam notlin umachzirin bechad makam utana, notlin mishum machzirin. Ela hacha somchin bechad makam hu, umikayimin bechad makam hu. So the Gemara says, it's apples and oranges. I understand that the Mishnah is going to tell me I could take it off, because the Mishnah really wants to teach me that I could return it, because those two actions are inherently related. I'm never going to have a case of chazar unless of course what? Unless I take it off, right? There's no case of chazara unless you're first notel. So I understand the verbiage of the Mishnah in that respect. However, smicha and mekaimin, smicha and shihiyah, take place in two different parts of the oven, right? Shihiyah is done on top, smicha is done next to. So those two processes are not linked. To which the Gemara says, you're right. My havyalo. So at the end of the day, what do we do? Right? It's always good when the Gemara ends off like this, right? When the Gemara tries to seize the proofs, go back and forth, versus fine. What is the answer? My havyalo. Tashma. So the Gemara quotes another braiso. Kira shesikua begefesu beitzin. If you have a stove that was fired up, gefes again is the pulp, eitzin is wood. Somchinla ve'ein mekaimin. Ela im kein grufa ukituma. Oh, so the Braisa says explicitly that if you have a stove that is fired up with a heat source that does not quickly disintegrate, then you are permitted to go ahead and be somech, right? If you want to do shia, if you want to put the food on top of it, then what? It has to be either grufa or ketuma. But somchin, apparently to put the pot next to the stove is permitted, even if what? Even if the stove is not grufa and ketuma. So also what comes out according to this braisa is that the din of grufa and ketuma is only a din in direct benefit from the heat source. But if it's indirect benefit of the heat source, like you're putting the pot next to the stovetop, then halacha l'maaseh, even if the stove was not grufa and ketuma, you could still put the pot there. We'll better define that as we go on. Gecholim sh'amimu, if you have coals that were amamu means extinguishing in the process of being extinguished. They were there. The point is that their heat was diminished. Or you went ahead and you put on them some wool, right, or some flax, daka, a thin sheet, in order to go ahead and minimize the cooking capacity. Harihu ki kituma. This ultimately is like kituma. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Oshia. So Rabbi says again, at least halacha lemaisa, we have our psak with smicha, that you're permitted to go ahead. Now, I just want to point out, whenever you see these halachos that seem to be one-dimensional, remember, they're not one-dimensional, because there's always now the question of what type of food are you permitted to do this with, right? Because we'll see what's going to be our next sugya. There's a difference between fully cooked solids, which, let's say, can be reheated on Shabbos, versus liquids, which may not be reheated on Shabbos under any circumstances once they've cooled down, right? So again, when the Brice over here gives you the right to go ahead and do smicha, put the pot next to the fire, that is a very general statement that then we're going to have to plug in other specifics into. But at least what we emerge with is that the din of grufa and ketuma is only a din in direct benefit from the heat source, but indirect benefit of the heat source, like putting it next to the stove, is not governed by the laws of Gruf and Ketuma. So Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani Amar Rav Oshia, Kitma v'Huvara, if you did Ketuma, right, Ketima, if you went ahead and you blanketed the coals with a layer of ash, v'Huvara, and then the coals reignite, Mashin Alea Chamin Shehuchmu Kol Tzarchon, you are still permitted to do shihiya, right? You're still permitted to go ahead and maintain food on that heat source as long as it is liquids that are fully cooked and food that's fully cooked. Shmamina, the Gemara says, see from here, mitstamek v'yafelo mutter. So it's an interesting discussion that we're going to get into. Mitstamek v'yafelo means like this. You can have a fully cooked salad for which additional cooking is still beneficial. Right, meaning it's fully cooked, but additional cooking is still beneficial. Look at Rashi. Mitstamik literally means shrivels. That's really what it means. It means it's become smaller. But it means mismait, Rashi says. And it goes over here, skip down a little bit to next Rashi, mutter. Lash hosan bikira. Di'i lobe mitstamik v'yafalo ka'amar. May asa lash mo'inon ela al karchach be mitstamik v'yafalo ka'amar. Va'afilu hachi lo gazru mishum chitui ho'il v'nisbashal kol tzarchol. What the Gemara is saying like this is like what Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani is saying in Rav Oshia is the following idea, that if you have a stove on which you did ketima, you did what you were supposed to do, you put a layer of ash on top of the coals, and now what happened? The fire reignites. You understand what I mean? Reignites is what is it? Flares up. Thank you. The fire flares up. I like reignites. All right, flares up. Fine, the fire flares up. So now Rav Oshia says that you could still maintain food on top of that flame going into Shabbos. Now, what's the novelty in that? The novelty in that is I might have thought that what would have happened. Now, I would have thought that halacha lemaisa, now that it flared up again, that maybe the whole gezeir of Shema Yechata, that I may come to stoke the coals to hasten the cooking process, would still be in effect. Kamashlan says, Rav Oshia, no. Once you did what you were supposed to do, that's enough, even if the coals reignite. The Gemara says, you see from here also, that mitstamek v'yofelo is mutter. That even if the food that's on top of the flame will still benefit from the additional cooking now that it's going to undergo, that's permitted. Because as Rashi points out, if it's talking about a food item for which additional cooking would be detrimental, there's no chiddush. I just lost the place. There's no chiddush in. What daf we have? Okay, good. So if halacha lemaisa we're talking about something for which additional cooking would be detrimental, then obviously goes without saying that it should be mutter. Right? It's only because you're talking about an item from mitstamek v'yafalo, for which additional cooking is beneficial, the chiddush of Rav Oshia is you may still maintain your food on that flame because you did your proper hishtadlos. So the Gemara says the following, shiny hacha, no, but this is not a good case. You can't say in general mitstamek v'yafalo is mutter. Why? Because the kitma. Because this is an exception case. Because in this particular case, you did what you were supposed to do. You blanketed the coals with the layer of ash. If that's the case, then what is there to say? To which the Gemara says, Huvara it's trichle. No, it's a very important case. I need to go ahead and discuss this case because once again the heat source flared up. What would I have thought? Cave under Huvara Hajlal Milsal Kamaisa. I might have thought that once the heat source flares up, that halacha lemaisa, it's as if I never did Kitima. it's as if I never did anything with the particular heat source, and therefore it should be usur. Now I should treat this flame just like what? Just like any flame that's never been covered or never been tempered. Kamashmalan, that's not the case. Kamashmalan, once I do my hishtadlos, even if my hishtadlos is undone, the flame is nevertheless usable for Shabbos. I just want to point out, when is one of the coals flaring up again? The pashtos, they're flaring up on Shabbos, right? Because obviously, if the coals are flaring up before Shabbos, then aloha maisa, you have time to go ahead and readdress the issue. So chiddush over here is it's on Shabbos, and what Rav Moshe is teaching us is once you've done your hishtadlos, then halacha l'maaseh, you need not go. I'll tell you just the contemporary application. We'll have to see how you're passing like this, but if you want to plug this into a contemporary case, the contemporary case would be, because you understand, our contemporary version of Gruf and Ketumah is a blech. When we use a blech on Shabbos, that essentially is putting a layer over the heat source. Really what it is, it's a recognizable reminder that we are not permitted to manipulate the heat source on Shabbos. So the interesting halacha ramification of Rav Moshe's statement would be, what if your blech got knocked off on Shabbos? Right? Your blech got knocked off on Shabbos. Can you use... So again, I want to be clear. We don't accept this halacha lemaisa. But I'm just right. I see people getting very excited. Right? They're knocking off blacks. Right? I'm just pointing out that it does have an interesting halakha l'maisa ramification, which we'll get to. All right, we'll go in order. It's just very exciting. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rabba Rachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kitma b'huvara. Similarly, if you went ahead and you did ketima, you blanketed the coals with ash b'huvara, and then the heat source flared up again. Mashin alea chamin shuchmu kol tzarchan. You are permitted to go ahead and maintain on that flame. Chamin, right? Water that was totally heated up. V'tavshel shavishal kol tzarcho, as well as food that was fully cooked. V'afilu gecholim shal rosem. Even what? Even rosem wood coals. Rosem was a type of tree. Or it shmamina mitstamek v'yafalo mutter. Oh, what do you see from here? That halacha l'maaseh, you're permitted to go ahead and maintain food on a flame, even though the additional cooking is beneficial for this particular food. To which the Gemara says, no. Shani ha'acha dekitma. This case is different. Why? Because you did your hishtadlus, you did the ketima. It was undone afterwards, but it doesn't matter. You did what you were supposed to. Ehachi ma'ila memra. If that's the case, then what's the chiddush? Humara tzrichalei. No, the chiddush is because of the case of where the heat source flared up again. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hainuhach, you just repeated the same case twice. Right? You just told me the same thing twice. The same exact case. I did my ketima. I covered the coals. The coals reignited. And I'm still permitted to go in and use the flame on Shabbos because at the end of the day, I did my ketima. Why did it say the same came twice? Oh, the Gemara says, Gicholim shall rosem itzrichale. The reason why this second brisa was quoted was because it dealt with the case of rosem coals. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Gicholim shall rosem. Chamin yoser mishar gicholim. So apparently, rosem coals was a very strong heat source. When it says strong, it probably burned brighter, burned more intense, and also burned longer. They don't go out quickly. So the second rice is bringing up the chiddush that I might have thought that this idea that if you do ketima and then the heat source flares up again, that's maybe with regular fuel sources, but not with rosem wood, because rosem coals are so intense that maybe we would say you can't even use those. Kamash malon, that even if it's rosem wood, you could still go ahead and use it. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kira Shesikua Begeves Ubeitim. So Rav Sheshes thing, Rav Yochanan, if you have a stove that was fired up with Gethes and with Eitzim, with again pulp or with wood, Mashna Lea Chamin Shalohuchmu Kol Tzarchan, V'Tavshil Shaloh Bishal Kol Tzarchan. Wow. So Rav Sheshes comes along and says the name of Rav Yochanan, that if you have a fire that was heated with Gethes and Eitzim, now totally other end of the spectrum, you are permitted to maintain Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, water that was not fully heated, and food that was not fully cooked. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Look at Rashi. Rashi quotes Mashnala va'afa pishalo kitma va'amoroi alibud Rabbi Yochanan. And this is so, even though what? even though the stove is not grufa and ketuma. Now, I will say, bepashtos, what Rabbi Yochanan is, what Rabbi Sheshes is quoting the same Rabbi Yochanan. Bepashtos, what Rabbi Yochanan is referring to over here, is the food is Michael Ben Drusoy. Right, the food, right, remember we spoke about this before, that Michael Ben Drusoy was the bandit, would eat his food after one-third of the cooking time. So bepashtos, he has to be referring to food that's one-third cooked. Says chap over here is if the food is one-third cooked, you could even maintain it on a stovetop going into Shabbos, even if the stove is not garuf and katum. However, ochr, if you went ahead and you took it off the stove, lo yachzir ad sheigrof o ad sheyitin efer. However, if you took it off the stove and now you want to return it to the stove, you may not return it to the stove unless what? Unless the stove was garuf or katum. Fine. Kasover masnisin lahachzir tinan. So according to this reading of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan will understand that our Mishnah must be referring to Chazorah. Right? When the Mishnah opens up by saying that in order to use the stove on Shabbos, the stove must be Garuf HaKadum, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's only Chazorah. That's only returning food to the fire, to the stove on Shabbos. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, for Shehiyah, to maintain food on a stovetop going into Shabbos, that's fine even if what? Even if you do absolutely nothing with the stove. Correct. So what I was mentioning over here is, we'll get to this sugya. The Gemara hasn't told us why Chazara would be problematic. Because we're obviously, we'll say, in all of these, when we speak about Chazara, so in this case over here, Chazara might be problematic because your food is not fully cooked. But under normal circumstances, Chazara is not an issue of bishul, right? Why can't I take food? We'll get into these sugyas, but I'll give you just coming attractions. Why can't I just take food, you know, from the refrigerator and put it back on the fire Shabbos morning? Right, if it's fully cooked, it's not a bishul issue. It's a mechzekim avashal issue. Things that have the appearance of cooking, that which is rabbinic, that's where the problems come up. That's the issue of chazara. So Amar Rabba, tarvayu tanin hi lishos tenigo. So the Gemara says, excuse me, Amar Rabba, tarvayu tanin lishos. So look at Rashi, tarvayu tanin hi bein lishos v'she'ino grufa tanina behedja stam mishnah demuter va'akar lo yachzir. Lo yachzir nami tanina v'lami Rabbi Yochanan Ashman. So both say, all right. So I'm sorry. Before we get to this, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, then Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting that our mishnah is talking about the din of chazara. Because for shehiyah purposes, one is permitted to go ahead and do shehiyah even if the stove is not garuf hakatum. So Rava says, I understand. Tarvaihu taninhi. We have learned both of these things already. Lishos tanina. We've already learned about shehiyah. Where do we learn it? Ein nosten esapas beso chatan or im chashecha. We already learned this earlier. You're not permitted to go ahead and put bread in the oven im chashecha erev Shabbos. V'lo charora gabe cholim. You're not permitted to put a biscuit. Right on top of coals, elikideshi yikrumu paneo. Unless, of course, what the bread or the biscuit is going to what reach some basic threshold of edibility. Literally, it means that the face of it becomes crusted. That represents the most basic level of edibility. Hakamru paneo shari. But if the face of the bread or the biscuit becomes crusted, then what? Then it's permitted. So we learned already about the fact that even if your stove is not garuf hakatum, as long as your food has reached some basic threshold of edibility, you're permitted to maintain it on top of the stove. La'achzir nami tanina. We also learned about chazara. Beisilo omrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel says, you can even go ahead and return it to the stovetop. Ve'ad kan lo kasharu Beis Hillel ela begruf ha'ktuma. And Beis Hillel only allows us in a stove that's garuf ha'katum. Aval b'she'in ha'gruf ha'ktuma lo. But if it's not garuf ha'katum, you may not. So Rabbi Yosef, the Gemara therefore says, that halacha l'maisa, why does Rav Sheshes have to bring down this ruling name of Rabbi Yochanan if we've already learned it? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Ve'rav Sheshes nami diukid demasnisin kamash malon. All Rabbi Sheshes is coming to go ahead is to highlight some of the points of the Mishnah. Look at Rashi. Rav Sheshes nami diukid demasnis kamash malon mishum dundo masni lebehedja hakar mushari. All Rav Sheshes is coming to go ahead is really reinforce statements that were already made before and just simply restated in our Mishnah. Inachina, Rav Sheshes is not coming to mention anything new. But I will say, what does come out, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that Rabbi Yochanan is of the position that A, even if food is not fully cooked going into Shabbos, as long as it's like Michael Ben Drusoy, you can maintain it on the stovetop, and you can maintain it on the stovetop even if it's not garuf hakatum. And the only time you need gruf and ketum, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is for when? It's for chazara purposes. Amar Rav Shlomo bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Shmuel bar Yehuda saying Rabbi Yochanan, Kirush yisikua begefes ubeitzim. If you have a stove that was fired up with gefes or eitzim, mashin alei tashil shabishal kol tzarcho, you are permitted to go ahead and do shehiya on it as long as the food was fully cooked. V'chamin shochmu kol tzarchon, and with water that was fully heated, va'afilu mitstamek v'yafelo, and even if the additional cooking for the food is objectively beneficial. Amar lei ha'hu mirabbanan l'Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, ha'rav u'shmuel d'amri tarvayu, mitstamek v'yafelo aser. So interestingly enough, one of the rabbis said to Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, I don't understand how you're permitting this, because Rav and Shmuel both hold that mitstamek v'yafelo is aser. Rav and Shmuel both hold that halacha l'maisa, if you have a food item, even if it's fully cooked but could still benefit from additional cooking, you may not maintain it on an open flame going into Shabbos. Amar Lacy responded to him, Atu less ana yoda, the Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel mitstamek v'yafalo aser. So he said, Do you think I don't know that Shmuel holds that mitstamek v'yafalo is aser? Kika amina lacha. I'm just simply reflecting the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan kamina. When I said my position, I'm just simply reflecting the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan happens to told them it's tamik v'yafelo, that even if you have a solid food, if you have a food item that will still benefit from additional cooking, Rabbi Yochanan still allows for that to be maintained on the flame going into Shabbos. I know that Shmuel disagrees with it. I'm just telling you the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Amri Rav Ukva Mimeshan Ravashi. So Rav Ukva from Meshan said to Ravashi the following: Asun demakrivaso l'Rav Shmuel, avidu k'Rav Shmuel. You, now again, this is Rav Ukva saying to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, you guys who are close to Rav and Shmuel, now that means geographically as well, you who are close to Rav and Shmuel, you should paskin like Rav and Shmuel. What do Rav and Shmuel hold? Rav and Shmuel holds that mitstamek v'yafalo is aser. Right, that if you have a food item that could benefit from additional cooking, you may not maintain that on the flame going into Shabbos. So you guys who are close to Rav and Shmuel, that's how you should paskin. Anan na'avid k'Rabbi Yochanan. We will paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Right? We'll paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that mitstamek v'yafelo is still mutter. That even if the food could benefit from additional cooking, it's still mutter. Now again, Rabbi Yochanan Rabosai goes even farther than that, because Rabbi Yochanan even allows for shehiyah even by Michael ben Jusoy. Right, which is objectively mitstamek v'yafelo. See, even if the food is only one third cooked, where objectively additional cooking is beneficial, Rabbi Yochanan. That's how he passes Rabbi. So he passes Rabbi Yochanan in this particular situation. That even if the food is, although we don't fully pass like Rabbi Yochanan, we pass him that the food could be mitstamek v'yafelo, but we still require grufa and ketuma for shehiyah. Right, so we paskin on one hand that as long as the fire is grufa and ketuma, as long as you're using a blech, you could maintain food on that blech, even if what? The additional cooking is going to be beneficial, as long, of course, as it's reached the basic threshold of Michael ben Drusoy by the onset of Shabbos. I know, I apologize, I'm throwing out a lot of halachos to you in the middle of the sugyos, but you'll forgive me. Amar li Abayi l'Rav Yosef, mahu lishos. So Abayi said to Rav Yosef, what is the halacha concerning shehiyah? All right, well, so you know what? We'll stop over here. Amar li Abayi l'Rav Yosef. So Abayi said to Rav Yosef, mahu lishos. What is the halacha in terms of shehiyah? Amarle harav Yehuda mashule va'achil. So we'll say, look at mahu lishos b'she'ena grufa. So at the end of the day, Abayi said to Rav Yosef, can we do shehiyah with a stove top that has not grufa and ketuma? Can we pass it at the end of the day? Can we do it or not? So the Gemara says, Amarle harav Yehuda mashule va'achil. See, he responded, Rav Yehuda does it. Right, Rav Yehuda does shehiyah on a stove top going into Shabbos that's not grufa ketum. Amrali Barmini Rabbi Yehuda. Don't bring me out from Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Dechevan dinasukonhu afilu b'Shabbos namishari lemi avidlei. So he's because Rabbi Yehuda was apparently was a chola. For Rabbi Yehuda, even if they needed mamish to cook food on Shabbos, that would be permitted. So don't bring me right from Rabbi Yehuda. Leave aloch mai. What about from people like me and you? There's no sakara. Amar Leisei said to him, Besura mashu. In surah, they go ahead and do shehiyah, even if the oven is not garaf akatum. Dehara nachan bar Yitzchak, mari du'uvda hava, umashilei va'achil. Because of Nachan bar Yitzchak, who was again Mari Dukla, someone who's very meticulous with his actions, used a stovetop on Erev Shabbos. That was not Garfa Katham. Amravashi. So we'll stop over here. Okay. So therefore, he brought a raya from Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, who was in Bavel. Then Aloch Chamai said he did Shehiya even without the oven being Garfa Katham. All right, we'll stop over here. This is the sheer tomorrow morning.